desire to be like you and desire to be part of the story you have in our lives. May we be able to say, let it be with me just as you say, trusting that your desire for us is goodness and life and fullness of life. Amen. The passage that, well, first of all, I just want to say that John and I had lovely technical difficulties this morning, so the PowerPoint won't be Advent-y at all. It's kind of put together at the last minute. So if you're wondering what the pattern is, don't worry about it. It was a pattern of last minute when things wouldn't save this morning. And we'll just give John lots of grace this morning as he is giving me lots of grace as well. The passage that Kathy read to us this morning from Luke 1, it offers this beautiful narrative from which we are invited to learn in this season of Advent. And as Steve has been leading us in the beginning weeks of Advent, we are reminded that Advent is a time we set aside to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the birth of Christ. We return to Advent year after year, to the stories of the Bible that prepare us for the celebration of this wonderful birth. To some of us, the stories are really familiar. To others, they are new. But to each of us, the biblical narrative invites us to hear something new, something fresh, something to which we can join in saying, let it be. This morning, we return to getting to know Mary, a young, lowly, humble woman who God invites into this revolutionary journey. I found myself this week saying, oh, beautiful, beautiful Mary. I wanted to sit with her and learn from her. And I desired to have her ability to say, let it be, to the things that God invites me into. The Luke 1 passage gives us a glimpse into Mary as a woman of praise, a woman of acceptance of God's call, of courage, and of deep understanding of the ways of God. In a moment, we'll join Mary in her beautiful song of praise to God. But first, let's look together at Mary's initial response to the angel's message. Scripture tells us that an angel appeared to Mary saying, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary's response is described in different versions as being greatly troubled, thoroughly shaken, greatly perplexed. It was, in fact, a message of such magnitude that the angel spoke to the emotions swelling within Mary, saying, "Do not be afraid." And then the angel continues with the message of God, that Mary will conceive and give birth to Jesus, who will be called the Son of the Most High. And to this message, Mary responds with a question, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" As I have spent time getting to know Mary through this Luke 1 passage, I have found myself straddling the space between Mary's question of how can this be and her beautiful song of praise and acceptance before God. I hovered there because I desire to know what transpired in and around Mary to move her from being shaken to boldly stating, "I am the Lord's servant, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." I lingered there because in my faith journey, when God has invited me to move forward or to heed his call, my default questions are often, "How can this be since I am weak or not as good as, or that this will require a big change in my direction, the pathway I want to go," or a host of other reasons which cause me to hesitate in responding to God's calling. As we become more familiar with the ways of God, one aspect of God that is seen in Scripture and heard in the testimonies of people is that God is actively engaged and invested in our lives, and his desire for us, his much-loved children. His desire for us is for us to become whole. We are participants in God's continuing story of whole-making. Did you know that in addition to the Hebrew word shalom, meaning peace, that it also means wholeness, completeness? in a state of being unbroken. Shalom is a sense of well-being that comes when brokenness is made new. And therefore, when we are seeking peace, we are seeking wholeness. And when we are extending God's peace to others, we are also extending God's plan for wholeness in their lives. As God invited Mary into this incredibly awe-inspiring and challenging adventure, his desire for her was to be whole and to birth the Savior who would invite all to wholeness. And there was room on the road to God's wholeness for Mary to be perplexed, confused, and curious. And we're also on the road to wholeness, and we're allowed to have shaky knees and troubled minds and questions as we slowly and cautiously at times lean into God's message of do not be afraid. Isaiah 35 reads, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come to save you. As God invited Mary deeper into his story for her and his story for the world, God was inviting her to a new place. To go to a new place, we have to leave behind an old place and all that is attached to it, all that is known about it. Pastor and author Steve Weens writes, we actually need to be liberated from an old place to keep ourselves from bringing along with us to the new place. If you're seeking wholeness, and if we're seeking wholeness, we're always being led to go somewhere, and we'll always need to rediscover what to bring with us and what to leave behind. We're not seeking wholeness if we insist on bringing what we've always brought and what we've always done. All throughout our life's journey, we are filling bags for the journey, as it were, with truths and with marker moments and with our hurts and with wounds that we've collected along the way. And the whole part of us allows us to say yes, to take risks, to receive God's shalom for us, God's wholeness in us. But the broken parts in us cause us to hesitate or run away or maybe to cower. They get in our way from going to the new places, to responding to the new invitation of God. And as people of faith, God has us on a journey from here to there. God invites us to see something new and to cross a border. And in crossing that border, we can say, let it be whole. Let me be whole. In a book that I've been reading called Wholeness, we're introduced to a woman named Karen. She's a vibrant and empathic woman. But in her early life, that was not how she lived. She tells that for the first 13 years of her life, she didn't have a real friend. She was bullied, and she was isolated, and she was shamed by her peers every day. And so to cope, she made herself a chameleon, being whatever she thought people wanted her to be. During those days, she experienced darkness and loneliness and fear. And the one person that she felt safe with and deeply loved by was her father. And in her teen years, he died of cancer. And the death of her dad, who was her rock and the source of love and acceptance, really unraveled Karen to a point where she believed that the world would be better off without her. The pain and the loneliness had become too much. But then with help and support of a counselor and her friends and her faith community, Karen began the journey to wholeness, a place where what was broken in her was fixed by God. This journey began with Karen beginning to face her pain and the lies spoken over her in the past that she had come to believe as truths about herself. She didn't know where God's new journey would take her, but she knew that she wanted to go on the journey rather than remain where she was. Author Steve Weens writes, Karen's emergence from a lifetime of self-loathing was very slow in coming. It was as if she kept trying on new identities to see if they would fit. It was uncomfortable at first, but she kept saying things such as, "The old me would have been wounded by that small comment, and it would have taken me out for days, maybe weeks. But it doesn't affect me like that anymore. I'm changing." She has crossed over from here to there into a new way of thinking and a new way of relating to herself with God and with others. And the author talks about, and those who know her said, it is unmistakable. And though we know that Karen hasn't arrived, she's still growing. But she has definitely moved from here to there. In Mary's response of "let it be with me, just as you say," she was saying a confident yes to God's invitation to take her to a new place. This yes took much courage. It meant Mary saying yes to a call that would likely lead to her husband being humiliated in public, to her being rejected by society, possibly stoned, and her missing out on this joyful normalcy of a period of engagement. Her road to wholeness involved fear and loss and wandering and wondering. And yet within that, she says, "Yes, let it be." This week, I read a quote on a plaque in a store that said, "Faith over fear." It jumped out at me as the answer to what was in the space between Mary's question and Mary's words of praise. Faith. Mary chose faith over fear. And Mary had an informed faith. She chose to believe in the promises of God. She chose to believe that the angel was God's messenger and that nothing was impossible with God and that his desire was to expand his story through her. Thomas Merton penned an honest prayer at a time when he was being invited to respond with "let it be" when the way was not yet clear. He prayed, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." Amen. In this prayer, Merton expresses that he doesn't know what is ahead, and he isn't even confident that he is following God. But he, like Mary, chooses faith over fear and says, "Let it be." I resonate with Mary and with Thomas Merton's prayer and their questions about following God's voice, and maybe you do too. If you are anything like me, you are tempted to say, just let it remain as it is. Let it be as it is now. Don't make me take a step into the unfamiliar, the unknown. Let me stay in what is familiar, even if that familiar isn't deeply satisfying or isn't where I'm sensing God desires for me to stay. In these times, when we are invited to walk ahead, we want to know that God goes with us. And just like Mary, he invites us not to be afraid, not to give up, and not to go back. Our wholeness or our restoration, the shalom of God in us, is a result of God's kindness. It's not God's determination that we get it right. We are not set up to fail. We are not set up to know all the details of how we are to live this out. We are to be drawn by God's kindness and our faith in him that he will make it right. He will lead our feet on the right pathway. After Mary released herself to say, "Let it be," She moved into a place of deep praise. And on the other side of fear came praise. She says, "My soul magnifies and exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with loving care on the humble state of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will count me blessed and happy and favored by God. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." Mary's praise is very, very personal. She responds from her heart of all that God did for her. She expresses praise to God for his treatment of her. God, in inviting Mary to birth his son, to in fact birth God into human form to be amongst humankind, made Mary whole. In society, she was seen as broken, as unwhole. She was young. She was of humble stature. She was likely unseen. By choosing Mary, God was showing her and showing us that God is not partial to the rich or to the powerful or the known. God reached into the life of this lowly woman, and he makes her the mother of God. He makes her whole. He affirms that his promises are true and that he sees her and that he has a purpose for her life. God gave her nothing short of himself. In choosing Mary, God was revealing his mission and the mission that Jesus would take on. And it's a mission of inclusion, not of exclusion. A mission of grace and of mercy and of love. And in Mary, we see the humble one being exalted, being seen by God. And Mary then moves quite quickly from celebrating what God has done for her to celebrating what God has done for all. Her gratefulness went beyond herself. As we open up ourselves to God's desire for us to know wholeness in him, the lives of others will also be impacted. Professor Kelly Capick said, "Genuine love is something that is simultaneously received and given. We live out God's generosity towards us. Out of his radical love for us, we can love others, even our enemies. As people who have experienced new life, God's shalom in us, we take the side of life, of justice and of peace, rather than of death, abuse, and chaos. The good news is that God not only made us to be recipients of his grace, but also to participate in the movement of his own generosity. It's this beautiful transfer of we receive God, and then we extend God to others. And in God, we are made whole. And as we extend God to others, God is made whole." This week at Build-A-Lunch, which is, I believe, just one of these beautiful places of transfer where we give to those that will receive and those that are receiving give to us who need to receive. And this week, one of our regular little girls who comes in, she had gotten her hair cut that week. And so when she walked in the door, she was greeted with words of, "Oh, I love your haircut. You look so beautiful. Wow, you got your haircut. That looks so beautiful on you." And paralleling our message of how beautiful she looked was her mom's voice saying, I had to cut it all off because she kept getting hair in it and it was such a mess. And that was a truth. The hair needed to be gone because it was a sticky mess, I'm sure, at times. But what happened as she walked in was a new message placed upon her. You are beautiful. You are seen. You are welcomed. And I believe that God is on the journey of making her whole. And through this little girl's life, God is making me whole and making us whole. God knows Mary, and he knew Mary. God knows you, and he knows me. He sees us where we are, and he comes to us with love and with invitation. God invites us to be a people of the journey to wholeness that is within us. We're invited to have faith over fear, to believe that God is mindful of us and is and will doing great things in and through us for our own wholeness and for the wholeness of those around us. Today, you may be sensing that God wants to birth something new in you and new for you. And like Mary, we are invited to say, let it be, with faith and with hope. In Isaiah 65, it reads, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. In the journey to wholeness, God will be your guide. He will be your protection and your sustenance. And he will use your wholeness, his shalom in you, to bring wholeness to others. One of the roles in life that I love is being a mom. And a year ago, September, well, much of July and August, I was preparing to release Mallory into university life. That meant her moving out of our home and kind of out of my boundaries of seeing her all the time, I thought. And I share this experience with you because God was asking me, inviting me gently to go from here to there. And I have marker moments along the way where God was being that sustenance for me. I had spent time knowing that I couldn't be a mom that clung to Mally, that gripped her and said, you must stay here with me, with us. I know that I couldn't communicate that in any way to her because the messages that were communicated over me as a child were, you're pretty bad when you leave. You're not to leave family for anything, for summer camp, for friendships, for overnights, for university, for marriage even. You are to stay. You are not to leave because this is where you are to be. And so I knew that I didn't want to pass that on to Mallory. But it was hard. Because also within that became my old fears of what if she leaves and doesn't return to me? What if in the letting go, I lose this role of motherhood that I have loved so much? And so in my here to there, there was fear that came. And I was straddling it. And one day I was reading this wonderful book to two young children that said, my love will always find you. So I'm reading this book. And all of a sudden, these words that I'm reading to these little ones become this moment of transformation in me where my tears flowed. And what I recognized was God was saying to me, Catherine, my love will find you wherever you go. My love will find Mallory wherever you go. And Mallory will know that your love will find her wherever she goes. It's okay. You can release. And so I began this process of releasing. It meant lots of things. It meant not laying in my bed at night panicking because I didn't know if she'd returned to her residence, but knowing that I wasn't supposed to have her text me every night when she got home. It meant releasing. It meant trusting. And then Mallory came home for the summer, and I went like this again. I got her back. She's mine. She's back home. I see her. She's safe with me. And September came again, and God said, here we go again. We need to release. But what God taught me in that is he didn't want me to return to this posture. He didn't want me to return to thinking if I can see her and if she's living within the walls of my house, she will be okay. He didn't want me to return to this. He wanted me to do this with her, to fully release her into God's good plan, into God's shalom for her. And as I have done that, what I've recognized is that God has worked out new parts of his shalom in me, that I have become whole. In fact, Mallory texted me this week and said, hey, have you forgotten about me? I haven't heard about from you. And I laughed because what it meant was in my release, there has been that transfer that I don't constantly have to be in touch and that she will be okay and that we will be okay. And beyond that, God gave me this beautiful gift of being a mom, not to bind me with fear, but to bind me with hope and release. As you continue on your journey of Advent, my hope is that your faith and hope will bridge you as you walk from shaky knees to heartfelt praise. And as you know God's wholeness, may you leap into God's invitation to bring his shalom to all that is described in this wonderful passage in Isaiah. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation to the captives, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favor of the year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance and retribution of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion the following, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So they will be called the trees of righteousness, strong and magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The band may come forward as we pray. God of Shalom, we thank you that your desire for us is to be whole, to be complete, to be unbroken. And we thank you, God, in this Advent story that we can learn from Mary, the one you chose to bear your son, to bear light and love in your presence in this world. God, thank you that you welcome us on our journey from here to there. Help us not to be afraid of there. Help us to take steps forward to those places that you are calling us, knowing that you guide us, that you are with us, that you are for us. God, thank you that as we walk, we are allowed to bring to you our questions, our concerns, maybe even our battles, and that you are gracious to welcome those, you are gracious to tend to those, and always you say, you are welcome to be whole, walk with me. God, in this season of Advent, help us to be a people of praise. Help us to stop, to know what it means to say and join with Mary in saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. May we go to those places of magnifying you, God. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you for invitation. Thank you that we can be complete in you, and we give you great praise. Amen.
Please stand if you're able. Response. There.